too. I also answer to Shannon's sister while I'm in Sitka. And I forgot to put in my bio that one of my first real jobs after college was working for Jeff Budd at the teen center. He was a great boss. Was I a good employee? I hope so. That's what I'm hoping to hear. Okay. I have to sign in here. All right. So economic impacts of the Alaska Marine Highway System. We completed this about a month ago for the Marine Highway System. It was one of my favorite projects I've ever done at McDowell Group because I'm passionate about the Marine Highway System. Of course, like many of you, did that rite of passage, you know, moving up to Sitka right after college and had such special experiences doing that. And, of course, studying the visitor industry, we recognize how what an important role it plays. So a little bit about McDowell Group. Many of you may already be familiar with us. We, of course, work in a lot of different sectors. Tourism, mining, seafood, healthcare, social services, tribal, education, oil and gas, transportation. The kinds of work we do include feasibility studies, business planning, market research, surveys, economic development. So we do a lot of different kinds of things for Alaska firms and outside firms. I put a list of tourism clients on here just because that's my area that I love to work on. State and federal agencies, the CVBs and municipalities, including for Sitka CVB in the past, Native corporations, including Sciatica, cruise lines, industry associations, and other private companies in the tourism industry. So let's see. There we go. I think I just missed one, right? All right. So what we'll talk about today is I'll go over really briefly the methodology for the project, overview of Marine Highway System, its traffic, where it goes, and then the direct impacts of the Marine Highway System, employment, payroll, and spending, and then look at their total economic impacts in the state, role in a couple of industries in particular, and then its role in on a community level. So, methodology. So, of course, Marine Highway System provided us with a ton of great data, including traffic, about their passengers, their vehicles, their traffic by port, freight, residency of their passengers. They also gave us information, of course, on employment and payroll by community. The biggest challenge was thousands and thousands of vendor purchases from Alaska companies. And for each purchase, we have to determine, oh, is that a fuel purchase or is that a payment to an engineer? And because each of those different purchases gets calculated a little differently in our economic impact analysis, which we do using IMPLAN, which is a very common sort of tool for measuring these indirect impacts. We have sort of an Alaska-based model that takes into account Alaska's unique economy for the purposes of impact analysis. We also use the Alaska Visitor Statistics Program. I don't know if anyone remembers in the Sitka Airport ever encountering people in red vests who say, are you an Alaska resident or visitor? That's my baby, Alaska Visitor Statistics Program. But it gives us a ton of visitor statistics. So we'll see a little bit, a few of those today in the report. And then we did some executive interviews in case study communities that were selected by the Marine Highway System. So we had a lot of different sources for the study. I have two things to click here, so I'm trying to keep up here. Overview and traffic. I had to show you guys these beautiful old photos. This top one was from the very first vessel operated before Alaska became a state. The territory operated a ferry in Lynn Canal starting in 51. There was an Alaska Ferry Transportation Act in 1959, which sort of led to the creation of the Marine Highway System. In 1960, voters approved a bond to invest in the Marine Highway System, in docking facilities, in vessels. So you can see, in 1963, Marine Highway System began with four vessels, and then in the 70s and 80s, just really exploded with vessels and services and adding ports. In 1980, they were up to 39 ships and 30 ports, so not too, just a little bit below what they're at today. They reached peak traffic in 92, so that was over 400,000 passengers that they served in 92. Over the next decade, the traffic really declined by about 100,000 passengers, and there were a few factors for that. The air service was improved. The ALCAN was updated, so driving up became a lot easier. And then there was just a real downturn in the sort of what we call the long-haul vehicle market. Those folks from the Midwest or from elsewhere in the U.S. who get in their RV and come tool around Alaska for a month or two, that market, as people take shorter trips closer to home, that really impacted the Marine Highway System visitor market. Now, but over the last decade, as you'll see, it sort of flattened out to the point in 2015, 33 ports and 319,000 passengers. One thing I wanted to note is that most of the numbers I'll talk about today is about 2014. When we got commissioned to do this study, that's all the data we had. In a few places in the last couple weeks, I was able to update to 2015 information. So it'll switch around a little bit just to update. I'll point it out. So a little overview, here's your two maps of the two systems. The one on the right is the southeast system. The one on the left is the southwest system. There's 33 Alaska ports, two non-Alaska ports. 28 of these ports are not connected to the road system, which is, of course, a huge factor in the critical role marine highway system plays in the state. They own 11 vessels built between 63 and 2005. And I believe, let's see, 7 of the 11 vessels were constructed in the 60s and 70s, so getting a little long in the tooth. Two new day boats are under construction at the Ketchikan shipyard. They're called Alaska Class Ferry, and they are scheduled for delivery in 2018. All right. Total passengers, as I mentioned, 319,000, split into about 3/4 of them are in the southeast system, 1/4 in the southwest system. When you look at where these passengers are from, where they live, about 2/3 are Alaska residents and 1/3 are non-residents. Total vehicles, over 100,000 vehicles carried on an annual basis, or at least in 2014. All right, so here's traffic in the southeast system, embarking passenger traffic. So for the top 10 southeast ports, you can see Sitka is down here, number 7 out of 17 southeast ports. It ranks as number 8 out of all 35 marine highway system ports. And the other ports, of course, that aren't, I couldn't fit all in one slide, are Hoonah, Gustavus, Angoon, Cake, Tanaki, Pelican, and Yakutat. For southwest, you can see southwest, the difference, you know, southeast, obviously, with a lot, as I mentioned, 3/4 of traffic occurs in southeast. So southwest, starting with Whittier, and then these are the top 5 ports get quite the bulk of the traffic. And then you've got a lot of tiny little places that get very minimal traffic, like Old Harbor, False Pass, Tetitlik, Chenega, Cold Bay. But regardless of small traffic, of course, the marine highway system plays critical roles in these communities. All right, so some traffic trends, and here's where I added some 2015 data. This shows embarking passenger and vehicle volume over the years. And you can see, as I mentioned, that the traffic really, the decline happened in the late 90s, early 2000s, but it has stayed fairly steady over the last 10 years up to 2015. Average passengers was 320,000 up until 2015. Between 2011 and 2015, the decline of 17%. So I know we've all been feeling the decline on a community level. And then let's see. So I did want to throw some Sitka-specific information in here. This is the Sitka's passengers over the last 11 years, actually. So Sitka's traffic between 2012 and 2015 went down by 33%. So that's about twice what the statewide traffic went down. I know that scheduling and what's going on with the ferries and their maintenance and all that stuff plays a role, but that's a big number. I was surprised that it had gone down by a full third. Oh, okay. So when someone has a really rich data set, I can't resist, because the ferry system has such great data, you can slice and dice it any number of ways. So I had to make a special data request for you guys. So of all your passengers who are embarking at Sitka, these are the top 10 states of origin. I knew Rachel would really like this data. So Washington, California, Oregon, you can read on down, Colorado, Florida, Texas, Utah, Arizona, Michigan, Montana. So those are your top states of origin. I did look at the international data as well. Not too many international people getting on board, but you've got 81 Australians, and then it drops down to 22 Germans, 60 New Zealanders. You had 2 people from the United Arab Emirates. I love this stuff. I think it's so fascinating. 3 South Africans. you had 89 Canadians. So this data set, obviously, it's so fun to poke around in it and see where your people are coming from. And then we also asked them, okay, of all the people who got on in Sitka, where did they get off? That's the next slide. Never mind. Okay, so let's on. This is top Alaska communities of origin. So a lot of your passengers coming from Juneau, of course, 2,500. And then Angoon, Petersburg, Cake, Anchorage. Anchorage is number 5. In terms of the origin of your passengers embarking at Sitka. So you can see these kinds of things we like to point out to legislators, of course. You know, look at the role that South Central residents play in the system. Okay, now this is passenger destinations. So of everyone getting on in Sitka in 2015, most of them, the vast majority, got off in Juneau. And then Ketchikan, Bellingham, and Goon, you can see the list on down the list there. I just think this information is really interesting from a visitor industry perspective in particular. You know, where are people, when they're getting on in Sitka, where do they go? I think that concludes my special Sitka data portion. We'll see later if I have some more. So the freight, this is another essential part of the ferry system that, as you know, if you're in the visitor industry, you might not pay much attention to it. But in 2014, the Marine Highway System transported over 13,000 vehicles without drivers. I know in Bellingham, people will call me up and say, I'm putting my car on the ferry and get help with that. There are over 4,000 RVs. You've got container vans. This is really important to the seafood industry, for example, groceries to these smaller towns, perishable goods, that sort of thing. 2,269 non-motorized vehicles, and that includes kayaks and bikes and canoes. And then ATVs, you got some of those, and then 18,000 pets or livestock.
Do you have data on the breeds of livestock?
Yeah. No, it doesn't get down to that level. That would be fun, though. Persian cats. Yeah.
From the
UAE. Yeah, I like that. From the United Arab Emirates. Well, we can track that down. Don't tell the ferry system I told you all this data was available. I like my data source. Yeah. All right. So I'll talk a little bit now about direct impacts, which include employment, payroll, and spending. All right. So here's the employment, number of people employed in each or where the residents are. So the Marine Highway System employs residents from 44 Alaska communities. And again, here, you know, the number that we like to look at, Anchorage. Anchorage is not on the Marine Highway System yet. 34 of residents from there are employees. Cordova, Kodiak, some other folks. And Sitka is, let's see, number 7 or so on. And number 8. Sorry. And you guys had just over $2 million in payroll and benefits accrued to the Yersicka employees. 95% of Marine Highway System employees are Alaska residents, a total of just over 1,000 total Alaska employees. And they received just over $100 million in payroll and benefits in 2014. Operation spending. So these are expenses associated with keeping the ferry running. Fuel, maintenance, supplies, that sort of thing. About two-thirds of those expenses accrue to Southeast, about one-quarter to South Central. And you can see that doesn't necessarily follow passenger numbers. You know, some things have to be bought in Anchorage, even though Anchorage isn't a port. So certainly the impacts are felt, you know, in the various regions, not throughout all of Alaska, but certainly in South Central and Southeast and Southwest. Total spending totaled $46 million in operations. Roughly 500 Alaska businesses benefited from this relationship. As I mentioned, the spending levels aren't necessarily reflective of traffic levels. So Anchorage received the third highest spending of all the communities where spending occurred. And Sitka received $163,000 in operations spending. Nothing to sneeze at. Oops. I don't know what I just did. That worked. All right. So by category, this is where I talked about how we had to categorize everything in order for economic impact analysis. So examples of, there's fuel, oil, of course, that's just over half. And then services, that kind of thing, are like advertising, engineering, courier services, laundry, stevedoring, plumbing, snow removal, all kinds of services fall into that category. Supplies, equipment, travel and training, and utilities and other types of expenses. So really, the Marine Highway System works with a wide variety of businesses and sectors in the state. Capital spending, big bias, of course, towards Southeast and capital spending. Capital spending is used to acquire assets or extend the life of existing assets. So the majority of Marine Highway System capital spending is spent on vessel design, vessel construction, vessel refurbishments, repair, and then upgrades and repairs to terminals. So that's where a lot of the spending is happening. And, of course, Ketchikan has that Vigor Shipyard. So a lot of the spending occurs in Ketchikan. Total of $38 million in capital spending, 37 different capital projects. 81% went to Ketchikan, as I said, the shipyard. The biggest projects were the new engine for the Columbia, the construction of the two new ferries I mentioned, and then refurbishing and upgrading the Kennecott. So those were kind of the main expenditure categories. So when you add these three components together, you've got, I keep doing one and not the other. Payroll benefits at $100 million, just over $100 million. Operations at $46 million and capital at $38 million. So total direct spending of $185 million by the ferry system in Alaska in 2014. So let's talk a little bit about our total economic impacts. So what are these economic impacts? As I said, they're jobs and labor income for Marine Highway System employees. It's Marine Highway System spending with Alaska businesses, all the examples I've just told you. The indirect impacts are when spending by these businesses turn around and spend their money in local communities. Induced impacts are when spending by these businesses' employees turn around and spend their payroll dollars in the communities. So together, these are often called multiplier impacts. And that's, as I explained, we use that IMPLAN model for figuring those impacts out. A sort of secondary type of impact is spending by visitors who rely on the Marine Highway System. And we don't attribute, like, everyone who gets on a ferry for even one little leg. We don't say, oh, that's, you know, all they're spending in the state is attributable to the Marine Highway. We look at, I'll get to this a little later, but we look at those who come and go from the state via the Marine Highway. All right, so those big numbers that we're looking for, total wages of $104 million, of which $65 million are in direct wages and $39 million in indirect or induced. And then total jobs, 1,700, including just over 1,000 in direct jobs, and then almost 700 in indirect or induced jobs. So when you add everything together in terms of spending, the total spending impact is $273 million, including $185 million in direct and $88 million in indirect or induced. This is more than double the state of Alaska's general fund investment for fiscal year 15 of $117 million. I want to talk about a little bit about how Marine Highway System role in a couple of key industries. So the visitor industry, my favorite, is the Marine Highway System carried 103,000 non-resident passengers in 2014. These passengers, according to our survey, our AVSP survey from summer 2011, ferry passengers spent an average of $1,300 in Alaska per person. And that doesn't include flights to get to and from Alaska or the ferry system, the ferry tickets get to and from Alaska. We just count what they spend in the state. So, of course, that has a major economic impact. When we isolate those passengers that are using the ferry to come or go from Alaska, or both, right, people who get on in Bellingham or Prince Rupert and they take the ferry up or down, those folks spent a lot more. They spent $1,700. And if you multiply that by the number of folks doing that, it's a total impact of $29 million. So quite a big impact. And these visitors, of course, their experience is enhanced by their journey on the Marine Highway System, and they tend to spend a lot longer time in the state as well. So they have major impacts. We like this table a lot, too. In our survey of visitors, we found the top 10 Alaska destinations of Alaska visitors using the Marine Highway System. So of all those folks who took the ferry, Anchorage and Juneau are the top two destinations. So folks taking the ferry are not just tooling around in Southeast. They are driving, they're getting off the ferry in Haines or Skagway, or they may be taking it up to the Southwest system, but they are getting up throughout the state. You've got 37%. Denali is number 5 community of those visited. Fairbanks down there at number 7. Toke, you know, these are communities that are not on the ferry system, but they are benefiting from the service by getting their visitors. Seafood is another industry that came up a lot in our conversations. Marine Highway System provides a really critical alternative to air. We heard from the seafood companies just how essential it was to have this alternative. You know, that sometimes the airlift didn't quite work out for them, but and Marine Highway System is more affordable. They said they could afford to pay a higher price to fishermen because of the affordability of the Marine Highway. The important seafood ports for the Marine Highway were Kodiak, Cordova, Petersburg, Wrangell, and Juneau, and then, of course, offloading and roaded ports, so offloading in Bellingham and Prince Rupert, that sort of thing. In general, let's see. Seafood. Got it. Okay. Okay, so what I mentioned that the Marine Highway System selected 3 communities, Haines, Cordova, and Angoon. And they selected them to sort of represent a range of the role that Marine Highway System plays in different communities. We took a closer look at their passenger data. We looked at freight data, what's coming and going from these communities. And we interviewed a lot of people. I'm not going to go too far into what we found in the individual communities. They're not as relevant to Sitka, but I'll talk about some themes. Of course, in these communities, and yours included, the Marine Highway System provides local employment, including 21 jobs in Sitka, as well as wages. Marine Highway System makes purchases from local businesses. The Marine Highway System brings visitors, and as I said, the visitors, of course, their experience in Alaska is enhanced by this their ferry trips. It provides this affordable transport of seafood. The Marine Highway System, it basically, by providing this cheap alternative for goods, it encourages purchases of goods and services in the region or in the state, in the community, and it reduces the economic leakage that can occur when you're forced to buy from outside. It fosters development of local businesses that are shipping heavier bulk items. Oops. It sort of fosters a lot of economic development in the community. It transports seafood and produce, frozen food, construction equipment, all kinds of things. And especially when you're talking about small communities like Angoon that has no runway, right? It just has a float plane service. So that is particularly reliant on the Marine Highway. And Cordova, and it has its own reliance because it's such a heavy seafood port. And those were the seafood companies that were so just critically dependent on the Marine Highway. The other thing that it does is connects residents with jet service. We heard a lot about this. You know, relying on air service, you know, small planes that may or may not be flying on a particular day, and you want to get out, you need to get out to Seattle. That's a critical role of the Marine Highway. Healthcare services in these smaller communities, they don't have local access. They don't have local services. So they need to go to Juneau. They need to go to Ketchikan or Sitka. So it's really important in that sense. The special events, you guys have probably visited these, the Gold Medal, Haynes Fair, Celebration, Copper River Wild Seafood Salmon Festival. These events absolutely rely on the Marine Highway for their survival. I mean, we talked to people who said, we're not sure. We might not even exist without the Marine Highway because the air alternative, there's not enough lift, right? You need to have the great number of passengers allowed by the Marine Highway to even have an event. So in particular, the Haynes Fair said, wow, I'm not sure what they would do without the Marine Highway. It just transports so many of their visitors. And then something that came up a lot in our conversations was school-related travel. You know, people are very passionate about this. They want their kids to be able to learn from, to compete with, to benefit from kids in other communities in their region. So that plays a key role. You know, a lot of kids would not be able to compete and interact with their fellow students in the region without the Marine Highway. I wanted to include some quotes from our interviews. One thing that we did was ask, okay, how important is it? What role does it play? And what would happen if cuts happened or if there was no Marine Highway? So you'll hear a little bit about that. The ferry is threaded into everything we do. You book your whole life around the ferry schedule. We've been building our economy around the Marine Highway, especially the fast ferry, for over 10 years. This community will not survive without the ferry. If we lost ferry service, our business would likely go bankrupt. If ferry services were limited, this would have a huge impact on our local workforce. If AMHS stopped service, the population would drop substantially. Marine Highway System is absolutely critical to recruitment and retention of employees, and the ferry is a critical part of our success or failure. This is our road system. It just happens to be on the water. So I'd love to leave you with those poignant quotes, but I have to talk a little bit about budget. I hope you don't have any questions about this part. Fiscal year 2015, $160 million in operating costs. Let me catch up on my screen. And $54 million in revenue. So there was a $106 million deficit. And this is actually an improvement. They really worked hard over the previous couple years to increase their operating revenues, reduce their expenses. So they reduced their reliance on the general fund by about $10 million in each of the last 2 years. But when you look at sort of a longer term, there was $123 million subsidy in fiscal year 2013. And what they're talking about in the House and Senate, and they're juggling it around right now, it may be about $84 million going forward for fiscal year 18. And in response to cuts, Marine Highway System is down to operating 9 vessels out of its 11. They do have those 2 vessels that will, I think fiscal year 18 is when they'll be delivered. But one vessel they've just tied up because of cuts, and then the other vessel they're preparing for sale. So that's what's going on with the budget. I had to put another cool historic photo up here. But I would love to answer your questions, except about budget. Yeah, everything else is fair game. Thank you. That's my presentation. Question?
Heather, hopping back to the seafood